My name is Evan White, and you're listening to the Stories on Stage Davis podcast. The story you are about to hear, Wet Nurse, is by Naomi J. Williams, who is the author of Landfalls, which was longlisted for the Center for Fiction First Novel Prize and the National Book Critics Circle's John Leonard Award. Naomi's short fiction has appeared in Zoetrope, A Public Space, and One Story, among many other journals. She has received a Pushcart Prize, honorable mention in the Best American Short Story Series, and numerous grants and residencies. She also makes a killer tuna casserole. Wet Nurse is read by Jessica Lasky, who is another familiar face to Stories on Stage Davis regulars, and has appeared at our event many times, starting all the way back during our first season in 2013. But first, here's Naomi J. Williams on the inspiration behind Wet Nurse.
Hi, my name is Naomi Williams, and I'm the author of Wet Nurse. Wet Nurse is part of a short story collection that I've recently completed called Strange Trouble. All of the stories are in some way inspired by the work of Lafcadio Hearn, who was a fascinating Greek, Irish, Japanese writer. He was born in Greece to a Greek mother and an Irish father, partly raised there. Then in Ireland, he came to the United States and lived in this country for a long time, became a journalist, and eventually was sent to Japan on assignment and never came back, and lived the last 14 years of his too short life living in that country. And he made his name writing a lot of stories in English that were retellings of old Japanese folklore and gross stories and creepy tales. I've been interested in these stories for a really long time, since I was a child. And so this collection takes those stories as a jumping off point and kind of retells them a little bit. So the story that is part of this podcast, Wet Nurse, is inspired by a story of his that he called Ubazakura, which was named after a kind of cherry tree, the blossoms of which were said to look like a woman's nipples. And in that story, a wet nurse actually gives her life for the life of her charge. And my own story is quite different, but did take that one as a jumping off point. I hope you enjoy it, and I'm so happy to be part of this podcast. I want to thank Evan White and Jessica Lasky in particular for making this happen. I've had a long, fruitful, and happy association with Stories on Stage Davis, and I'm just delighted that I can be part of this new way of bringing short stories to people. Thanks.
Wet Nurse by Naomi J. Williams. At the end of the year, Kim looked out her kitchen window and noticed a moving truck parked in the alley below. Maybe someone was finally moving in next door, she thought, and she wasn't sure if the prospect were a welcome one or not. The two apartments shared a living room wall. The previous tenants had had a yappy dog they weren't even supposed to have. On the other hand, there were only two apartments on her floor, and having a neighbor again might be nice. First, she saw only the movers, young men with matching t-shirts that said, "Let us move you." But then she noticed a woman in a puffy winter coat, shaking the men's hands and nodding and pursing her lips before speaking, all with the anxious energy of someone enduring a house move. She looked pleasant, but not beautiful, her mannerisms friendly and a little tentative, and Kim went straight from feeling ambivalent about gaining a new neighbor to hoping very much that it would be this woman. And now, indeed, she could hear the old elevator grate its way up through the building and clang open in the hallway. Then the long jingling of brass keys used for the first time on an unfamiliar door. Well, she would have a new neighbor. A pleasant surprise for an otherwise ordinary Saturday. She considered opening the front door and introducing herself. But no, surely the last thing one needed on moving day was small talk with an importunate stranger from next door. And what if the woman who looked nice enough from three floors up turned out to be unfriendly? Kim did not think she could bear it. So she remained at the window sipping her tea. That was what had brought her to the kitchen in the first place, a cup of tea. And regarded the brisk, practice choreography of the movers climbing in and out of their truck, pushing dollies, hoisting banker's boxes, working in tandem to maneuver out a couch, a bed, a vintage rocking chair. Oak, Kim guessed, admiring the chair. Craftsman style. Maybe a Stickley. Most of the year, she would not have been able to see so clearly what was happening in the alley. An immense cherry tree grew below, its crown level with the top of her window. But now the tree was quite bare, and she could see everything. Like the tall man with thinning hair now talking to the movers. For a moment, she felt a stab of disappointment. This was undoubtedly the new neighbor's husband, and couples were so much harder to get to know than single people. But then she realized, laughing out loud, that she was gazing down at her own husband. What was he doing out there? Right, he'd run out for some milk for their tea and coffee. Goodness, she thought, he really was starting to go bald. She'd have to tease him about it when he came home, although she didn't know if he would laugh. There were so many things she didn't know about him. Marriage was odd that way. It was a long time before he came home, and he didn't have the milk. "Where have you been?" she cried. He'd met the new neighbor, he told her. She seemed nice. She had questions about the building, so he'd shown her around. Garbage chute, basement storage, recycling, bike parking, laundry, that sort of thing. "Isn't that the landlord's job?" she said. The landlord wasn't there, her husband explained. "So, is she married or anything?" He had no idea. "You didn't ask?" He had not, he told her. Then he signaled the end of the conversation by disappearing into the next room. She went out that afternoon to buy the milk herself and met the new neighbor coming out of the elevator. Her name was Sarah, and up close she was rather cute, with piles of curly dark hair over a full face and a slight dimple in one cheek when she smiled. She had just been to the lobby to empty her mailbox. "Mostly junk mail and stuff for the previous tenants," she said of the pile in her hands, which she held just below her breasts, forearms resting on her belly. She shrugged with a smile, and there was the dimple again. "I'm on my way out. Do you want me to just recycle all of that for you?" Kim offered. "Oh, thanks," Sarah said. "It's all right." Walking to the corner store, Kim reflected that her new neighbor hadn't said a word about meeting her husband earlier. Maybe, she thought, her pace slowing for a moment, he hadn't told Sarah that he was married. Once home, she put away the milk and the pork chop she'd bought for dinner and considered various ways to broach the subject. But there was no way to do so without sounding peevish and jealous. She knew how the conversation would unravel. "Did you even tell her about me?" she would ask. "Tell who?" he would demand. "Sarah, our new neighbor." "I don't know," he would say. "Probably. I don't remember. That was hours ago." Then she would say, "How come you didn't mention earlier that she's also pregnant?" To which he would respond, "I'm not even sure I noticed, to be honest." "So you met our new neighbor, who's quite obviously pregnant, and you didn't bother to mention that you're married and that your wife is pregnant, too?" "What do you want me to say?" he would shout, and then his disappearing act. Every argument she'd ever had with a man always devolved into that line. "What do you want me to say?" No, she would not start that argument today. Instead, she said, "You know, I saw you down in the alley earlier talking to the movers, and I didn't even recognize you at first. I'm not used to your bald spot, and I just assumed you were Sarah's husband. Isn't that funny?" He didn't laugh. She didn't see Sarah again for several months. She'd thought they might become friends, two pregnant women living side by side in the narrow apartment building. But no, city life could be odd that way. When she heard a newborn crying through the shared wall, however, she overcame her reserve and knocked on the door, casserole in hand. "I just wanted to say congratulations and bring over a little sustenance for you," she said, holding out the dish. "I hope you like tuna." Dressed in old sweatpants and a worn tee, belly still pooched out, Sarah looked exhausted, but grateful to see another adult, especially one bearing food. "God, thank you," she said, dimple in evidence. "The place is a disaster area, but do you want to see the baby? Kim, it's Kim." "Kim, of course. Come in." The apartment smelled of overripe bananas and garbage in need of emptying. On the coffee table, unwashed dishes sat right next to an opened package of Pampers spilling diapers across the surface. An infant car seat sat in the middle of the floor, an obvious tripping hazard. The roller shades were down as if to hide the chaos. Sarah was saying, eating straight from the pan with a large spoon. "What's in here? Kale?" "Just fresh herbs," Kim said. "Oregano, parsley, thyme, some sage." "It's really good," Sarah said through a mouthful. "Thank you." She pointed toward the couch. "Come meet the baby." Kim minced her way past the messes on the floor, noting the vintage rocking chair she'd admired when Sarah moved in. It had become a repository for mail. Shame, she thought. Deserved better. The infant lay in a Moses basket on the couch and wore the stunned, alien look of the just-born, eyes unfocused and serious, arms bent at the elbows, tiny fingers grazing a pink face. "Aw," Kim said. "Boy or girl?"
"Boy."
"Of course you are," Kim said to the baby, who was, she saw now, in a blue onesie festooned with trucks. When it became awkward to not be asked, she turned to Sarah, who was still working through the casserole, and blurted out, "So I have a baby boy, too, did you know?" Sarah's eyes popped.
"Oh, my God," she said. "No, I didn't. How old?"
"Almost a month."
"How stupid of me."
Sarah looked at the shared wall between the apartments as if surprised it could keep such secrets.
"Where is he now?"
"Taking a nap."
"Oh."
She looked again toward the wall.
"All by himself?"
"He'll be fine for a few minutes." As if to remind a mother of how quickly a nap could end, the baby in the basket began to snuffle, shaking its little head, tiny, hungry mouth working the air. Sarah sighed.
"Are you breastfeeding too?" she said. "Please tell me it gets easier."
"Oh, it will," Kim said, then pressed her hand to her chest, surprised by a tingling sensation there. She stood up. "I guess I'd better run back to my own little guy," she said. Sarah picked up her now mewling infant and walked Kim to the door.
"I can't imagine looking as fit and neat and together as you do in a month's time. Every day feels like an emergency."
She looked at Kim with frank envy, her eyes tearing a little. Kim took her hand and squeezed it. An electric shock jolted them, and the women pulled away from each other, laughing. "I'll come again," Kim assured her, then turned to walk into her own apartment, where it was, thank goodness, very clean and still silent. In the kitchen, she opened the window to a blast of cool air, then leaned out to snip a long branch of the cherry tree, heavy with blossoms. She set it in a vase, which she placed atop a red formica table in her dining area, then sat and regarded the flowers. With their dark, swollen hearts and pink petals, they resembled nipples. As she watched, a thin white liquid gathered at the tips of the delicate anthers in the middle of each blossom. She plucked one blossom and popped it in her mouth, surprised by its sour taste, so unlike the flavor of cherries. She ate a second blossom, then another, and another, and then the unopened buds, until the branch was bare. She knocked again some mornings later when she could hear through the wall Sarah and her baby both crying. "It's Kim from next door," she called when no one answered. "I don't mean to bother you, but..." The door creaked open to a pitiful sight. Sarah, hair lank, face puffy with misery, stained bathrobe over the same old sweats. The baby squalled hoarsely in her arms, fists curled against an angry red face. "Can I help?" Kim said. Sarah burst into sobs.
I'm not making any milk," she managed to say. "He's losing weight."
She held out the squealing infant, who indeed looked scrawny and wizened.
"Oh, you poor thing," Kim said. "May I come in?"
The crying mother nodded. The apartment smelled of unwashed bodies in unswept rooms with long unopened windows. Kim perched on the edge of the couch, wondering if diaper changes had occurred directly on the cushion. "So what's wrong?" she asked, talking over the baby's cries. "You feel like your milk hasn't come in?"
"I know it hasn't. It can take a few days, you know. Can it take over a week?"
I don't know," Kim said. "Have you talked to anyone?" The wretched woman nodded, tears streaking her face.
"The pediatrician and a lactation consultant, and earlier today a volunteer from a breastfeeding support group."
"What did they say?"
"The doctor says to just give him a bottle. The lactation lady left me with a breast pump, and the volunteer woman said using formula was paramount to child abuse."
"Tantamount," Kim muttered.
"What?"
"I'm sure you're trying your best," Kim said.
"Oh, I am,"
Sarah said, and she undid the top of her robe, misery trumping modesty. Her breasts were tiny, girlish almost, but the nipples were so raw and cracked they fairly radiated pain. Kim recoiled. Sarah nodded in abject validation.
"And you know what comes out when I use the breast pump? Blood."
"Jesus." For a moment, Kim sat with the sights and sounds and stinks of this unhappiness while something battled within her. Her better nature against her natural impassivity, or maybe it was more like common decency vying against a powerful curiosity. "Look," she finally said,
I know we really don't know each other, but I'm making more milk than I need. I'm happy to give you some. Sarah paused while blowing her nose and regarded Kim with a mix of surprise, suspicion, and gratitude. You would do that? Sure. Kim looked at the furious, hungry infant and felt the stirrings of the now familiar tingling in her chest. If you don't mind, I could feed him right now. You mean breastfeed him? If it's all right with you. What about your own baby? He'll be fine. Really, I'm making so much milk. But where is he right now? Oh, Kim said, inclining her head toward the shared wall. Just taking his morning nap. Alone? No, Kim said with a laugh. My husband's over there, of course. Your husband? Yes, my husband, Kim said, then added with an impatience she couldn't quite mask. Listen, if it's too weird, I understand. Lots of people use formula and their babies turn out, you know, fine. I'm just offering because I can. Sarah nodded, tears refilling her eyes. Would you mind if I use your rocking chair? Kim said. It would be more comfortable. Sarah nodded again, and Kim cleared the rocker of its accumulated mail before sitting down. Oh, how she loved the chair's solidity, and how perfectly proportioned to her body. Seat height and depth just right, armrests exactly where they needed to be. What a great chair, she said as she unbuttoned her shirt. Sarah laughed grimly. Maybe you should take it, she said. My grandma gave it to me when I got pregnant. She nursed my mom in that chair, and my mom nursed me. Is it a Stickley? What? Kim wasn't sure if Sarah really didn't know anything about her furniture, or if she was just distracted by the sight of Kim's swollen, blue-veined breasts, milk already dripping from distended nipples. She reached for the baby. Stickley, she repeated. Oh, I don't know, Sarah said, handing over her child. What a waste, Kim thought, wincing against the baby's fierce latch-on. Nice things were so often bestowed on people who didn't know how to appreciate them. But now the milk letdown began, a sensation simultaneously thrilling and unnerving. She closed her eyes, surrendering herself to the demands of their bodies, his tiny new body in her arms, her grown body nestled in a perfect chair. When she opened her eyes, she found Sarah watching her with shamefaced fascination and relief. Kim put a finger in the baby's mouth to break the suction and moved him to the other breast. I don't want to get lopsided, she explained, then braced herself for the baby's strong gums to clamp down again. Does it hurt? A little, especially right at first. Does it ever feel good? Kim smiled and raised an eyebrow. Oh, yes, she said. Sarah looked away, but not before Kim saw the spasm of embarrassed envy cross her face. When the baby's suckling grew intermittent and fluttery, Kim removed the baby from the breast and returned him to his mother. A drop of milk glistened in the corner of his tiny rosebud mouth. He's never looked like this before, Sarah said, gazing into her child's contented sleeping face. How can I ever repay you?
You could give me the rocking chair, Kim said, then added when Sarah looked up in surprise. I'm joking.
As the cherry tree outside of Kim's window erupted into the most voluptuous blooms of its long life, Kim and Sarah fell into a routine. Every evening, Kim would leave a cooler of bottles filled with breast milk in front of Sarah's door. Every morning, Sarah returned it with empty, sterilized bottles. She always included a small gift, a croissant, a half dozen eggs, some fresh flowers. It pleased Kim to think of her neighbor deciding every day what to include. Her husband didn't like it. Between feeding their own baby and the pumping for the neighbor's baby, he said, she had time for nothing and no one else. You mean I don't have time for you and my breasts aren't available? To you, she said. Was it so terrible, he wanted to know, for a man to want to spend time with his wife, including, yes, with her breasts? Was that a crime? No, honey, she said as she rinsed out the breast shields and valves and membranes one evening. Actually, it's kind of sweet that you miss me that way. Do you want to watch while I pump?
God, no, he declared. It put him in mind of a dairy.
She laughed as he wandered out of sight. The other person who disapproved of the arrangement was the breastfeeding advocate who had made Sarah feel so guilty about her nursing difficulties. Kim once encountered this woman waiting for the elevator. She was short and expansive in a maternal way and had, Kim thought, the changeable face of a woman who smiled warmly at people she liked and scowled at everyone else.
"You must be the wet nurse," the woman said, her voice clipped.
"Wet nurse?" Kim repeated. "What is this, the 19th century?"
the woman scowled. I understand you're using her breast pump to express your own milk.
I'm giving her that milk, you know.
No doubt your intentions are good, she said, but the pump is to stimulate her lactation, not support yours.
Kim took a step toward the woman and looked down into her face. You know nothing about my intentions, she said.
The elevator arrived and the woman backed into it, eyes wide with alarm. Kim gave a little wave through the window as she descended. The woman did not wave back.
I just met your breastfeeding missionary, Kim said after Sarah answered the door.
Oh, her, said Sarah. Look what she persuaded me to buy today.
She held up a contraption that looked like a lanyard holding a flat plastic container instead of an ID. Two thin plastic tubes emerged from a yellow cap on the container.
What is it?
A supplemental nursing system. Sarah placed it around her neck and let the container dangle between her breasts. You fill this thing with formula, or donated breast milk in my case, thanks to you, and tape these little tubes to your nipples so you can keep nursing even if you don't make enough milk.
Kim was surprised by how threatened she felt by the device.
Are you still trying to nurse?
Sarah shrugged. She looked much improved. Hair washed and styled, she wore a pretty peasant blouse over a floral skirt. Still, some whiff of disappointment clung to her.
That woman is a zealot, Kim said. Just ignore her.
Sarah laughed at Kim's vehemence.
She's actually quite nice, but yeah, she's a true believer.
She held up a tin on the counter.
She brought me, I kid you not, lactation cookies. She puts nettles in them.
Want one?
Kim wrinkled her nose. No thanks. She crouched to greet the baby, installed in a bouncy chair on the floor. He looked plump and healthy and was jamming one fist against his mouth.
He looks hungry.
Yeah, I was about to heat up another bottle, Sarah called from the kitchen.
Kim lifted the baby from the bouncer.
I could feed him right now, you know.
Oh, that's okay, Sarah said, retrieving a bottle from the fridge. I've got it.
I don't mind, really.
Sarah pursed her lips while placing the bottle in the warmer.
I'd really prefer to feed him myself.
Kim nuzzled the baby.
Even though I'm the wet nurse?
What?
The breastfeeding zealot. She called me the wet nurse.
Sarah emerged from the galley kitchen, bottle in hand.
I'm sorry she was so weird to you.
Is that what you call me, too?
No, of course not, Sarah said, reaching for the baby.
For a long, tense moment, Kim held the baby while Sarah waited with a darkening expression. Then, with a laugh, Kim kissed the top of the baby's head and relinquished him. Sarah retreated with him to the far corner of her couch.
You don't use the rocking chair? Kim asked.
Sarah exhaled impatiently.
I'm more comfortable over here.
Kim stroked the smooth oak panels of the chair back. It almost had the warmth of a living thing.
I think you're leaking, Sarah said.
What?
Kim looked down at herself. Sure enough, two wet spots bloomed through her shirt.
Damn it, I hate when this happens.
Sarah regarded her with the pained expression of a woman who would have been happy to endure the annoyances of lactation, if only she could. Kim saw it and couldn't help herself.
It wouldn't have happened if you'd let me nurse him, she said.
Sarah's face contorted, and Kim would recall later that this was the exact moment when she knew the arrangement was over.
I'm sorry, Sarah said, her voice pinched with the effort to remain polite. But maybe you should go home and feed your own baby. He's asleep.
Actually, Kim said, he's out with my mom right now. She's visiting. Sarah raised an eyebrow, whether in surprise or doubt, Kim couldn't tell.
Isn't it odd that I've never met your baby? Or your husband?
You haven't?
You know I haven't.
It was fortunate that he was so much taller than she, Kim was thinking, so she never needed to see that bald spot, because otherwise he was still such a handsome man. He repeated his request. Kim, I need to take the breast pump back.
Why did she send you to ask for it?
She feels bad about the whole thing, he said. The pump is apparently on loan from the hospital and she needs to return it.
I didn't know a volunteer wet nurse could be fired, she said.
Come on, he said. It's not like that. It's just time to move on is all. You've done so much for the baby and for Sarah and for all. I get it, Kim said. It was easy enough to pack up. She'd kept the apparatus out on the Formica table, all the removable pieces washed and airing out on a clean linen cloth. When he left with the pump, she sat at the table waiting for him to return and wondering how long it would take before her breasts stopped making all the extra milk she now wouldn't need. Even thinking about it triggered the strange electrical gathering sensation in her chest. It was a long time before he showed up again, and he never noticed that she had been crying. The cherry tree leafed out, its tens of thousands of finely toothed leaves dappling the light in Kim's kitchen and blocking her view of the alley below, so she didn't notice when another moving truck appeared. She didn't realize she'd been hearing and ignoring noise in the hallway until the sharp rap at her own door. It was her landlord, an unsentimental man with a beer gut and bulbous nose.
"Kim," he boomed, "what are you doing to drive my tenants away?"
"What are you talking about?" She looked down the hall toward the open doorway of Sarah's apartment. "Oh my God, they moved?"
He nodded. "And left you something."
He motioned for her to follow. Entering the emptied apartment, Kim imagined for one heady moment that Sarah had left her baby behind. But it was the rocking chair, lightly swaying in the middle of the living room as if someone had just vacated it. A note was taped to one armrest. "For Kim. Seeing as you were so keen on it, and we don't have room in our new place. Sarah and Mike."
"Mike," she said aloud. "That wasn't the baby's name."
"No," the landlord said. "That was the husband."
"Husband? But there was no..."
She stood stock still, hands suddenly cold, holding herself taut against an onslaught of clarity.
"Well, do you want it?" the landlord was saying.
"Sorry?"
"The rocking chair. Do you want it?"
"Oh, yes, I'll take it," Kim said. "It's a stickly."
"It's heavy is what it is," he said. "Come on, give me a hand."
They wrestled it out of the apartment, down the short stretch of hallway and into Kim's living room. She had the perfect corner for it, a spot from which she could enjoy her views of the city. The landlord grunted as they set the piece down. Standing up with effort, he said,
"Wish I had more tenants like you, sweetheart. Quiet folks who pay the rent on time year after year and cause no trouble to anyone."
Kim smiled. "I do what I can," she said. She waved goodbye and shut the door behind him. "Sweetheart," she hissed, watching his retreating figure through the peephole. She went to her new chair, eased herself into it, and rocked back and forth. She couldn't wait till the baby woke so she could nurse him there. She couldn't wait till her husband came home and saw her there. A picture of contented motherhood.
You've just heard Wet Nurse by Naomi J. Williams, read by Jessica Lasky. The Stories on Stage Davis podcast will be back in 2 weeks with a story by Matthew Calle, author of Los Angeles, read by actor Christopher Ryan. In the meantime, you can also check out the full schedule of upcoming episodes at storiesonstagedavis.com and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or Google Play. Thanks for listening.